Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
School in PA is beginning in a few days, and what can parents and students expect as they begin the new school year? This is beside mask mandates, comprehensive sex ed, social engineering, social-emotional learning, etc., etc. Too many school board members are grappling with decisions on the transgender issue. On day one, Joe Biden unilaterally eviscerates women's sports. Any educational institution that receives federal funding must admit biological males to women's teams, women's scholarships, bathrooms, locker rooms, etc. Are there any tools that can shed a light on the danger of this reversal of President Trump's policy? My guest today is Mary McAllister, Senior Litigation Counsel with Child and Parental Rights Campaign. Thanks, Mary, for being with us.
Well, thank you, Diane, for having me. This is just a very critical issue, and it's really reaching a fever pace now. Schools coming back in, as you mentioned, and it's just part of this trinity of evil, so to speak, of, you know, critical race theory, social emotional learning, gender identity, and it's aiming for the hearts and minds of our children, and it's something that parents need to really get behind and fight.
Absolutely, they do need to, because our kids are under attack. I mean, they have been for decades, but now it's openly an attack on our kids. And I want to back up a little bit. You used to be with Liberty Counsel. Now you're with the Child and Parental Rights Campaign. And that organization's only just a very few years old. So what is the goal of the Child and Parental Rights Campaign?
Well, we formed in 2015, and our goal is to protect parental rights to the education and upbringing of their children, particularly empowering parents to fight against this transgender ideology that is taking over the schools and the schools. You know, it's on the internet. It's pervasive, and so we exist to empower parents through education, through legislation, and through litigation, representing parents that they're being compromised in terms of the right to raise their children according to their own system, and also to make medical and mental health decisions for their children, and not to have those made by a society.
This is completely off the subject as far as transgenderism, but there's been a bill or a co-sponsorship memo is currently circulating in the State House and State Senate here in PA that will lower the age to where children can get, in this case, the COVID vaccine, the 14-year-olds, if this bill passes and Governor Wolf signs it, which I know he would if it reaches his desk, 14-year-olds would be able to get the COVID vaccine without parental consent. So that's just another example of an attack on parents' rights, and it's insistent. The left is insistent on taking away more and more parental rights. And, the entire public education system is a landmine for America's children.
And
it's being used not as academic institutions, but indoctrination institutions. And I think parents are now beginning to understand, even 5 years ago, I don't think parents understood the attacks on their children. But with this transgender issue, it has really opened, and the critical race theory, it's really opened their eyes to the dangers within those schools, within those public school systems. Looking at everything, all the different attacks on our kids in the public school system, what do you think is the greatest one? Is there one greater than the other, do you think? I know that's a tough question.
I think all of these issues, they have the common seed of undermining parental rights,
okay,
of removing the foundation of the parents as the primary caretakers, educators, decision makers for their children.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're eroding that away and trying to empower the children who we know the brain does not mature until they're in their 20s in terms of the part of the brain that can make decisions, examine risks, not engage in risky behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
But to eliminate the stopgap of the parent from having the children make harmful decisions. And I think what is unique about the transgender issue and what brings it to the forefront is it is not just questions of curriculum or what books are they reading,
right,
what clothes are they wearing, but this is where the schools are trying to make mental health decisions for children.
Right.
Even when you're doing the social affirmation, quote unquote, which is where you let the kid use another name, mm-hmm, another pronoun, dress in boys' clothes instead of girls' clothes, mm-hmm, and all that kind of thing, that in and of itself is a mental health answer because the child obviously has a mental health issue. You know, they have
right.
this thought that they are not a girl or a boy
mm-hmm.
as they were born.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously is a mental health issue that needs therapy, that needs treatment, that needs to be addressed. And that is the purview of the parent to provide that kind of treatment, necessary therapy,
mm-hmm.
Counseling, whatever is required when a child has a mental health or physical disorder.
Exactly. And what the trouble is, we have like the APA and such saying, well, this is not a mental disorder, not really a mental disorder, just these kids, you know, they know that they were born in the wrong body, so they just are trying to fix the problem, quote unquote. And too many therapists adhere to that ideology, and parents have to find the right counselor to tell the truth, to speak the truth, because too many, you know, I've read too many stories about counselors encouraging the child to go and live out the life of the opposite sex that they believe that they are. So it's really really scary out there for parents who have a child who may be questioning their gender. And we have, of course, we have the Biden administration and the Department of Education under him, who is now basically saying that Title IX, the word sex in Title IX has the definition has been expanded.
Right.
Can you kind of tell us what Title IX is or what it was originally for and what it was, what it has become?
Yes. And you know, the irony of it is the very reason the Title IX was enacted is now being undermined by the same people who enacted it in the first place. Because originally it was enacted to equalize opportunities primarily for women and girls mm-hmm. in the academic realm, including athletics,
mm-hmm.
Academic opportunities, that kind of thing, because there was a disparity there where women and girls didn't have the same ability to enter into certain occupations or professions or study certain things. I didn't have the same athletic
mm-hmm.
Opportunity. So Title IX was enacted to provide for equal treatment of men and women in the educational realm. And that, of course, permitted women and girls to make some tremendous strides
mm-hmm.
in athletic achievement, in academic achievement, in,
right.
social and political achievement.
Mm-hmm.
And that was its purpose. Well, what's happened now is that, you know, initially under the Obama administration, they started to attempt to redefine this. Now, Congress is the only group that can rewrite the law, reinterpret the law to say that sex under Title IX means something other than biological male and biological female. Mm-hmm. That's the only way the law itself can be changed.
Right.
And Congress hasn't done that yet. Now, they're trying to with this Equality Act.
Right.
But so far, that has not come into play. If that came into play, then the law really would provide that. But meanwhile, and the courts have not come out and done it to that extent.
Right.
The Supreme Court has eaten away a little bit at it, but they have been very clear that they are not changing the definition of sex under Title IX.
Right. What they did, yeah, well, I'm going to interrupt right quick. Their decision was in the Bostic case, and that just dealt with employment. But I've read a lot of homosexual websites or groups' websites that are pointing to the Bostic case as giving them the tool to rewrite Title IX. I mean, they're taking the Bostic case and they're using it as a springboard to get what they want and to insert gender identity into policies and laws and such, or, you know, trying to change the laws. But as you're saying, only Congress can do that. And there have been a few lower court decisions that also ate away at that, you know, court decisions that allowed boys to play on girls' sports and such, boys who identify as girls. But yeah, there's the Bostic case is being used. I think Neil Gorsuch was the deciding. Anyway.
Right, and that's not unexpected. We all expected that would be what they would do.
Right.
But in reality, when you read Justice Gorsuch's opinion, he is very clear that his decision is strictly employment of adults, and that you can't fire somebody for being transgender or homosexual. That was what they found. That was it.
Okay.
But of course, we know that they have precipitated that. But then what the Obama administration did first, and now the Biden administration is following up on it, is they're saying, well, we know that the law hasn't changed. We know that the courts haven't done this, but we think this is what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we, by administrative fiat, because we are the Obama administration are the administrators, we are going to determine that this is how it is to be defined for schools. And if you don't do this, we'll pull your funding.
Yeah. And really, school districts, go ahead, finish that thought.
They had absolutely no power, no authority, no legal backing. It was simply a threat.
Right.
And it's most schools are going to cave to something if they think they're going to lose their federal money.
Right. Even though my understanding is most school districts, they're just a small percentage of their budget is federal dollars, is my understanding. I've not checked the numbers, but like you're saying, that just that threat of losing federal dollars is enough to make school board members shake in their boots and to decide to go along with whatever comes out of Washington, D.C., which is tragic for the kids, very tragic for the kids. I know that unless the Equality Act, which at this point the Equality Act itself, I think, has been stopped, I believe, in the Senate.
Yeah. But the Senate has not taken it up.
Okay.
They've been able to block it.
Okay, at this point. But even if the Senate does successfully block it, I still see the Democrats trying to sneak it in another bill or a different title or something, just like with the Heroes or what's that act? For the People Act. They're trying to get that in through the John Lewis Writing Act.
Well, and in the Infrastructure Act, there's a provision in there about not discriminating on the basis of gender identity and homosexuality in contracts issued by the federal government in the Infrastructure Act. So they are getting it in there where they can.
Right, right. For federal contractors.
Right.
Yeah, they will not give up. That's one thing. The left never gives up when they're trying to push their radical ideas. I know here in, as they're attempting to redefine sex in Title IX, and as I mentioned earlier, there have been some court cases here in PA in May 2018, a three-judge panel of the Third Circuit unanimously ruled against female students in the Boyertown Area School District, and that's over in Berks County, And then the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the appeal. So even here in PA, there have been court cases deciding against female athletes. In this case, it was athletes. But there's allowing boys and girls' bathrooms and locker rooms and on their sports teams. And as you're saying, it's undermining the true intent of Title IX, which was supposed to have allowed girls greater access in the academic and the sports world. And, you know, unless the Supreme Court takes it up, you know, takes up an appeal, whatever the lower court or the appeals court decides, that's it, right? There's nowhere else to go.
Right. And so then that comes basically, I mean, you can settle, you know, you can make distinctions with other cases, but basically that becomes binding precedent for that area of the country, which in the Third Circuit, it's New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania now.
And I think the Virgin
binding.
Islands. I think there's also one. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
And so that's binding precedent. And then it can be persuasive for other parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other appellate courts will say, well, you know, the folks in the Third Circuit think this is good, and, you know, maybe that's right. And yeah. So unless the Supreme Court comes through, now, we did have a good outcome in the 11th Circuit out of Florida, mm-hmm. which is Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. The Adams case in Florida, initially the three-judge panel found in favor of the student. It was mm-hmm. actually 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
The chief judge had a blistering dissent, but two of the three judges on the panel said that the school board discriminated unfairly against this young girl who wanted to become a boy and found against the school district. But then the attorneys asked for reconsideration and all that. And after about 6 months, they redid their decision, and they basically, the two judges, narrowed it down so that Title IX is not a part of it. They basically based it on equal protection, that the child was denied equal protection by not being able to use the boys' restroom, violating Title IX. So that was a victory in the point of that. We don't have decision sitting out there now saying that in the 11th Circuit, Title IX requires...
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, bathrooms.
So was that using the 14th Amendment? Is that equal protection?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So they just stuck with the 14th Amendment, and they vacated the original decision. The original decision is gone, and obviously people will still cite it, but it's not valid law anymore.
Okay.
But they came back in and they said, we're going to narrow our decision. Title IX is not an issue here. We're just simply going to find in favor of the student, because she wasn't treated on the same basis under the 14th Amendment as other students.
Okay.
And that was it.
I see.
So that was good.
We're going to have Mary on again next week to answer the question of how we can get this issue to the United States Supreme Court.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFA of PA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afaofpa.org.